The book of James, please, if you would, in your Bibles. James chapter 1. And after you found your place in James chapter 1, if you're physically able, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. We'll read responsively down through verse 18. I'll read the odd verses by myself. You can join me out loud on the even verses. Beginning in James chapter 1 and verse 1. James, a servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I want you to focus your attention on verse 16. James says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Kind of like that little word, E-R-R, right? In our modern languages, I suppose they would probably spell it E-R-R-O-R, right? Do not error. I don't know why we need another syllable. I think error is just fine. And it works because we're not supposed to err. That works for me. Less syllables is better. Amen? So, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. If you're going to tell somebody not to err, what does that mean there's a possibility of? Erring. Yes, absolutely. You say, but we're free from the bondage of sin and of life in Christ Jesus, and we don't have to deal with these things. Yes, we do. Hey, just because you get saved, just because you're born again, just because you understand that you're a sinner, that you have need of salvation, and you turn to Christ and you accept Him as your Savior, doesn't mean sin goes away. Doesn't mean it doesn't bother you anymore. Doesn't mean that it's completely eradicated and eliminated from your life. You understand that there's much of the New Testament dedicated to helping the believer avoid this error. Avoiding this. And James says, do not err, my beloved brethren. This is what I want to talk about tonight, is do not err. Do not err. The word err means to wander from the right way, to deviate from the true course or true purpose, to miss the right way in way of morals or religion, to deviate from the path or line of duty, to stray by design or mistake. Do not wander. Do not miss. Do not deviate. Do not stray. God wants us not to err. We read the entirety of the first part of this chapter because it gives us some ideas of how to avoid this error. We're going to get to that at the end of the message, if that's okay with you. But you understand that this all began somewhere. Go back to Genesis and chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. In our Sunday school class, we've been studying the book of Acts, and last week Stephen began at Abraham and went through the time of Christ, and I'm going to go back further than he did, before Abraham. Everybody knows verse 1, don't you? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, as you go through this chapter and you see all the things that God created, and it continually says that it was good. That it was good. And this day, the first day, it was good. And the second day, it was good. And the third day, it was good. And God saw that it was good. And you go through down to the end of the chapter, and it says here that in verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. Very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so we have these things here and all this taking place. And in chapter 2, we see how God forms man there of the dust of the ground. And later on, he gives him a helpmeet. And these things happen. And then we get to chapter 3, where the error starts. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? And she should have said, yes, he hath. Goodbye. Wouldn't that have been great? That would have been grand. We'd have never known about it, but that would have been grand. What happens the following is man gives in and deviates from the path of God. Wanders. Maybe by mistake, maybe by choice. You understand that we see the error that takes place here. Look at chapter 3 and verse 11. And he, that's God, said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? He said, hey, I told you what the way was. I told you what the path was, and you were not to wander from it. You were not to deviate from it. You were not to stray from that course. And the man said, the woman! You know, it didn't take long after sinning to start with the finger pointing or passing the buck, did it? It was pretty fast. The woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The serpent! Yeah. Don't worry, I see this, I hear this at my house all the time. You understand that this takes place. Man erred. God said, do not err. Do not deviate. Do not stray. Do not wander. And this happened. Go to Romans in chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one may many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Christ Jesus, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of God, of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, in the beginning, God created. It was very good. Man was given a path. Man was given a way to travel, a way to go. And he erred from that way. James encourages the brethren. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Why would you have to tell somebody not to err if they couldn't err? And we all can. Because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of Adam and because of the sin that is in this world, we are sinners. And whether we're saved or whether we're lost, sin is with us. It just is. And we have to do something about it. Hey, aren't you glad? I'm going to talk to those of you that have already accepted Christ as your Savior. Aren't you glad that there was a time in your life when you realized you were lost and undone, without hope, wallowing in sin, and just basically seeing nothing to look forward to, and then you met Jesus? Amen. Yeah, he reached down in that miry clay and pulled you out. And you were born again. Let's just think back to that. What a joy to be freed from the bondage of sin. Let me ask you a question. Why do you want to go back in bondage again? Just go back and read through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. You can see, listen, we're free from this. We're not supposed to go back to it. Hey, we're not supposed to be like the dog that returns to his vomit. I mean, if I didn't like it the first time, why would I like it the second time? I'll refrain from telling you my chili joke. If you want to hear it later, I'll tell it to you. It's a good one. But, well, if you didn't like it the first time, why would you want to eat it again? I'll tell you a different story. It's not a joke, but a story. So, I'm not from Texas. Y'all know that, right? I'm from North Dakota. The land of frozen people, okay? That's where I'm from. Where there are more cows than people. The land of opportunity, right? North Dakota. And so I'm not familiar I'm getting more familiar with things being here in Texas since 2005. I guess that makes it 17 years in August. So I love the South. It's great. I love Texas. It's wonderful. I had never heard of something called Texas Roadhouse. Y'all have been to that place? Steakhouse, restaurant? Okay. So, I don't know, about maybe 10, 12 years ago, something like that, dear. We were on a couples retreat, and one of the events was going to Texas Roadhouse. And listen, I'm a sucker for a couple, a lot of things, I guess. But I love sausage. I guess that's my German heritage. I love sausage, and I love ribs. I mean, I've fallen in love with ribs. And another thing I love down here, y'all Texans do, chicken fried steak. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, I don't think it gets any better than that. Unless maybe chicken fried ribs. Maybe that'd be good. I don't know. We could try it, I guess. They just go to State Fair. They have everything, right? Deep fried. That works. Anyways. So I ordered a rack of ribs. I mean, what better way to end the evening, right? Well, I ended the evening that way. I got sick. Because of those ribs. I guess there's something wrong with them. And boy, it was just not a fun evening, I tell you that. So you know what? I've only been to Texas Roadhouse one more time since that. And I'm sure it's a fine establishment. Well, the next time, guess what I didn't order? The ribs, okay? You say, well, that was probably just a one-time instance. I understand. But it didn't settle well with me, so guess what I didn't do again? I got a steak instead, okay, smothered with mushrooms and onions, and oh, hallelujah, that was good. Okay, and that didn't come up a second time. So, if I go back to Texas Roadhouse again, guess what I'm going to get? Steak! Okay, I'm not getting ribs. Now, I know it's a simple story, but do not err, my beloved brethren. Hey, did sin sit well with you when you were lost and undone and headed nowhere? And you saw the light of life in Jesus Christ? Why go back to the darkness? Why go back to the vomit? Why go back to the death and the despair and the destruction? James says here that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. He said, hey, you don't want that life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Don't go back to that old life. Don't go back to the sin. Don't go back to the old ways. Stay where you should be in new life in Christ. And don't depart from it. Don't wander from it. Don't deviate. Don't stray by design or mistake. God wants us to be successful. He wants us to be saved. He sent His Son to be that propitiation, to be that payment for our sin debt, so that we can have everlasting life. He so loved us, so that we could not continue in our sin and not be condemned already to hell and die in our sin and be separated from God forever, but that we may have life. And let me tell you, today, if you have not experienced that life in Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation for you. Right. You can trust Him. You can turn from that old life and that wallowing in sin and darkness and see and trust and follow the light in Christ today. The way of error is not a good way. In Proverbs 14 it says, do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. In Amos 2:4 it says, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept His commandments. Now, what does that mean if they despise the law of the Lord? They knew it, and they said, no, not following that. It says that they they have not kept his commandments. That means they knew the commandments and said, no, no, not doing that. And then listen to this. And their lies have caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. Do you mean my choice to err, to deviate, to wander, to stray, will be a detriment to others? Yes, it will. Yes, it will. You see, we need to make sure that we do not do these things. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus speaking to the religious sort, they were trying to trick him with a question about this woman that was married and her husband died, and then all these other people died, and whose wife is she going to be after the resurrection? Remember that passage? Well, here's Jesus' answer. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how the bush God spake to unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. You see, this thing of sin is prevalent. It is so prevalent that there are false prophets and false teachers who twist and turn the Bible to other things. Let me ask you a question. Is this the only kind of church there is out there? And is this church the same as those other churches out there? What did Jesus battle with all through his ministry? The religious crowd. You understand that we've got to not err. We need to know the Word of God. That's one of the things that we say around here, is that the Bible is the foundation for all matters of faith and practice. This book is what's important. Not what I think. And no offense to you, but not what you think either. It's what this book says. Do not err. He said, hey, did you not read, guys? Have you not read in the book of Moses? Don't you know these things? Remember when he was talking to Nicodemus? He said, Nicodemus, you're a ruler of Israel. How do you not know these things? We need to understand the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know what it says. And we need to follow what it says. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm sorry, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times shall he show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortally dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich unto in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. You know, it's a difficulty to stay on the right track. Who said it was easy? You know, there are things luring us from side to side and place to place. It reminds me in Joshua what God told him. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Before that, he said, do not turn from it to the right hand, or left hand. You know, it's easy to stray. It's easy to get off course. How many of you have ever gotten off course before? Yeah. What does it take to get off course? Not much. Hey, anybody familiar with the construction world? Hey, you have an idea about that? Yeah. You know what? You start here, right? And if you're off just a little bit, doesn't that make the whole thing off? Yeah. You're about just an eighth of an inch. Just a quarter of an inch. We can fudge a little bit on that, right? No. Let me ask you a question. This was brought to my attention, and I had already been studying this. It's amazing how God does things like that. But listen, what does a little deviation in our lives do to us? It gets us off course later by a lot. He said, but it's insignificant. Is it? Hey, last I checked, sin is sin. Sin is sin. To err means to deviate. Sometimes by mistake, didn't I read? Or by design. Hey, listen, I don't know why I'm saying that so much today. We decide a lot of times to err because we want to. And we don't think it's a big deal because we've justified it. Now, I'm not standing before you without fault. You know how many things in my life that I've justified? How about a little white lie? How about speeding? Oh, I've justified that. Well, it's only 5 miles over the speed limit. Hey, there's so many things. We could countless things. I was at store one time, and I intended to purchase something. I wasn't trying to shoplift. Okay? And either I missed it or the checkout person missed it. But there was an item that was missed. And I have a thing about not getting overcharged for something. How many of you like to be overcharged for things? Right? No. Right? So I checked my receipt to make sure that the cash register didn't ring it up twice. You know, because you gotta watch your budget these days, right? So just as much as we're like, oh, you overcharged me, right? We're quick to do that. But when you look at your receipt and you didn't get charged for an item, how many of you go back into the store? Huh? You say, oh, that's not sick. It's not. Last I checked, that was stealing. So, you know, this item came up and I didn't see it on there, and there it was in my truck. So I got my receipt. I got the item. I went back in the store. Hey, maybe, and I paid for it. And I said, I'm sorry. And the lady was flabbergasted. She's like, what? She's like, nobody does this. And I gave her a gospel tract. I said, I do. you know, you're going through and they give you too much change, right? I've even done this. We went somewhere out to eat and got it to go. We got back and I only ordered 20 hamburgers. But you're supposed to laugh. They weren't for me. I have a large family, okay? I mean, 20 hamburgers is actually kind of cutting a little slim. probably should have had 25. don't worry, I call ahead because I was told by one owner to call ahead when it's such a large order. I said, it was just for my family, not the baseball team. but there were more. You know what I did? I called the next day. And it was already past closing time, so I waited. And by the way, they're not going to take the hamburger back, okay, and serve it to somebody else. But I just called and told him. I said, you gave me too many hamburgers. I don't mind paying for them. He goes, no, that's all right. Thank you. But and listen, they may choose to do that, but at least I should bring it to their knowledge, to their attention. Why? Because it's just the right way to live. Do not err. Do not deviate. Listen, if we deviate one point, one eighth of an inch, one quarter of an inch, we're going to end up way over there instead of right here. Because that's where our line is going to be set. We've got to be careful not to err. Now over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says to Timothy, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Did you notice that? He says, hey, shun them. Don't even look at them. Because it will increase to more ungodliness. In other words, that deviation is going to exaggerate itself as it continues. And that's what happens when we err. That's why James said, do not err, my beloved brethren. He says these things increase. They get worse as it goes on. You know what happens when we give the devil a foothold in our lives? He's satisfied with that, right? Come on now. We give him a place. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil, right? So we give him a place. We say, all right, devil, you can have, you know, this spot right here. And he'll be satisfied with that, and he'll just kind of live in his little spot there in your life. No. He's going to try to take more and more and more and more and more. Back to 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. There's that word again. Saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You see how this gathers some steam? And how this becomes so destructive? You say, well, what's a little straying? What's a little wandering? It's a lot. It's a lot. And we must take heed and take care not to err. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And they that may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I think it would be wise, if you go back to James chapter 1, we're almost done. I think it would be wise for us not to err. Not to err. We just went through the Lord's Supper on Sunday night, and Paul said, let a man examine himself. Here in James, it says that if we lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask in faith. Don't be double-minded. Follow these things. Understand these things. Receive these things. Do not err. We need to know that the trying of our faith worketh patience. And patience needs to have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We have a choice. To sin or not to sin. I'm just trying to explain today that we can avoid sin. We can say no. Listen, I've already kind of destroyed and defeated that idea of sinless perfection. I'm not about that. That's a false doctrine. But you know what? We can choose not to sin. We can choose not to err. You all know 1 John chapter 1. That the Bible tells us that if we do sin, if we do go down that path, that we have an opportunity to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You see, folks, do not err. But if you do, we have an advocate. You can correct the error. You can make it straight. You can make it right. Hey, listen, if you're building a building and you're off that quarter inch, you have an opportunity to shim it up and get it where it needs to be. And that's what we need in our lives. Go back to Psalm 119. You see, I thought we were doing that Sunday nights. And by the way, if you'd like to experience a celebration, not only our snack night, tonight we are finishing Psalm 119, verses 175 and verses 176. You say, when did you start it? December of 2020. There's going to be cheering. There's going to be a parade, confetti. I mean, I don't know what there's going to be. Probably not. There in Psalm 119, you may remember this, but look at verses 9 through 16. It was the second group that we went through, probably in January of 21. Listen to this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Do not err, my beloved brother.